Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. If we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sins is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. Anyone who rejected the law of Moses died without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much more severely do you think someone deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, who has treated as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant that sanctified them, and who has insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay," and again, "The Lord will judge his people." It is a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God.
That's quite a little passage there. It's pretty straightforward. And it contains a commission and an explanation for the reason for that commission. Perhaps you've noticed over the last several weeks that much of the things that we've concentrated on points toward family. On Easter, the message was the family of God. And you may remember that we baptized three children, recognizing that they are part of the family of God. And then we had teach your children to pray. We talked about how to do that. And then we had train up your child in the way that they should go. And last week, not pointing directly at families, but we studied, listen, to whom? Who should we listen to? Is it God or is it the media and all the powers that are around us? One of the reasons that I've been talking so much about family is because I firmly believe that our society has decided that we know better and we don't think that God is important anymore. We don't like God's plan for our lives. And so we're going to change things. And we have. We even have somebody running for president of this country. And she said this, and I quote, "The deep-seated cultural codes, religious beliefs, and structural biases need to be changed," unquote, "so that we can embrace murdering our children." She didn't say that, but that's what she was talking about. And this woman is running for president of the United States on the ticket of kill your children because you have a right to. And she thinks she's going to win because enough of our people agree with that sentiment. What depths have we sunk to when anybody can believe that the United States of America will elect somebody to be their number one leader, the most powerful person in the world, on the ticket that you have the choice and the right to murder your babies? How awful have we become? Many of our states have passed laws that discriminate against those who believe in God in favor of those that publicly embrace what they want to call alternate lifestyles. We see court cases that are persecuting Christians because they stand up for what they believe. We see prayer forbidden in public places Oh, not all prayer. Just that, again, to that that goes to God Almighty, that might name Jesus. We, as a society, think that if our basketball team or our football team or whatever wins, we can celebrate by turning over cars and burning businesses and looting stores. We've seen it happen. Or, for the opposite reason, we're mad about something. Turn over cars, burn buildings, loot businesses. That's the acceptable thing to do. After all, we have a right to say what we want, right? In our own public schools, right here in town, 1 out of 5 children goes home to marry mother and father. 80% of our children don't have the privilege of going home to a full family of a married mother and father. Our media will tell us that if you go out on a date, your goal really is to get in bed with that person. And we accept that. Why do you think we read the law of God every Sunday morning? I mean, after all, according to most Americans, that's so obsolete. Why even think about it? But it's God Almighty, the one who made us. He said, I have your best interests in mind. And for you to be successful and to live good lives and to enjoy it and then to come and live with me, these are the ways that I want you to live. And we say, no, God, you haven't got a clue. You don't know what modern life is like. And so we've got people on Pine Ridge, they're killing themselves. They would rather go to hell than to face life. Now, I'll admit that some of them probably don't realize that they're jumping out of the frying pan into the fire. Because they don't believe what God has taught us in His Word. So we look at our own children. Because the passage that Allison just read says this, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Not giving up meeting together, like we are this morning, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. And we like to focus on our children because they are dear to our hearts. And we as a community have gathered together in several ways to try to reach our children. Just a couple weeks ago, we had what we called the Youth Summit. And a lot of the leaders of the organizations in our community got together and said, how do we deal with our children? How do we make life better for them? What programs do we put in place? How do we coordinate them so that our kids will grow up and live a good life? And then a couple days later, more people, and some of the same, gathered together specifically to schedule children's things this summer so that they don't conflict with each other, so that our kids can go to these different things that we offer. One of them is going to be Bible school in the second week of June in the Reformed Church here. And we've got a team coming from Wichita that was here last year, and they're going to teach Bible school. And the week after that, over here at the Lutheran Church, they're going to have Bible school for our kids. And we're trying to make it so that our kids can go to those things and they're not pulled away by all the other different activities. This past week, we had a couple days up at the school where we were working with the kids and with the teachers and any adults in the community that wanted to understand more about motherhood is sacred and fatherhood is sacred and how those teach family values. And then after that was over, we had people that were meeting down here in our basement being trained on how to facilitate putting families back together, teaching young women and young men the values of families and how to do that. We're trying to spur each other on. Winnebago Juvenile Justice Planning Team has been working for almost 3 years to redo the codes, the legal codes and the programs that we already have in place to coordinate them together so that our children who get in trouble get proper treatment and aren't just thrown away and forgotten about in a jail somewhere. And we're trying to get counselors. We're trying to get procedures in place. We're trying to get cooperation between various agencies in place. We as a community are working to help our children to grow up to be successful adults. But here's the snag. None of that's going to go very far if we leave out the most important cog in our lives, and that is the work of God in our hearts. The first step, and believe me, some of these organizations realize it. When they put together the Winnebago Juvenile Justice Planning Team, they invited the churches to be part of it because spiritual life is the foundation of our physical life. When you turn your back on the spiritual life, you get rid of the foundation on which you build all the things that make life good. And so we, the Church of Jesus Christ, need to make those lessons available. But not just to our children, to us and those people out around us in our community who don't know who Jesus is. We have that responsibility. The group of us that went to the Oklahoma conference this week were sitting around the table and we said, what do we need to do in our community? What are we missing? And one of the things that we did there is we spent time in solitude, even amidst the crowd. The leader said, okay, now you've got 20 minutes. Don't talk to other people. You sit there by yourself and pray and think and answer these questions. And one of our people said, you know, I've learned over the last several weeks that when I sit down at home by myself and I open up the Bible and read it, I learn things that are in there that I didn't see before. No matter how many times you read the scriptures, you're going to keep coming up with new things that God has to say to you. And sometimes it's things that you've heard before, but you never thought, oh, that means me. It's real easy for us, and I've heard it before, to walk out and say, boy, I wish so-and-so could have heard that. You read there and you say, boy, I wish somebody else, that so-and-so would read that. And we don't bother to think that maybe I should pay attention. But sometimes when you're sitting there with those scriptures, God taps you on the shoulder and he said, psst, listen, this is for you. And this woman said, I think that other people ought to have that value. How do we get that to them? And so we said, well, let's put together a prayer meeting. And then as we discussed how to do that and what to do, and he said, let's open it up to the community. And so we're going to do that. Come. Because we need to speak to God and allow Him to speak to us in order for our children to fill that empty space in their lives. In order for us, some of us, to fill that empty space in our lives that only God can fill. First Peter 5, 6-9 says, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. Be alert and sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour, and he's doing that. Resist him. Stand firm in the faith because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kinds of sufferings. There it is, right into scriptures, written 2,000 years ago and pertaining to today. James 4, 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Psalm 34, 14. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. What do all those have together? They say, don't just sit there and try to let it happen. The Christian life is an active life. Humble yourselves. That's a verb. That's something you do. When you set your priorities, you say, all right, God, your way is what's important. I don't need to go to bingo. I don't need to go to the movie. I don't need to get home for that show. Because you have priority. When it says submit to God, that means, okay, God, I put my thoughts down and listen to yours. It says be alert and of sober mind. Resist the devil. That's work. It's scary. But there it is right in Scripture. If you resist him, he has to leave. And the power that is in us, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, is much more powerful than what the devil and his minions can throw at us. Now, our efforts as a community to pray together will not earn us a place in heaven. But it will show God and our community that we're serious about what we're doing. Or it will show them that we're not serious. But prayer changes those who pray. And so if you come to be part of that, and you're willing to submit to what God has in store for you, God will use you to do His will. We say that we want to be the means that God uses to draw His people unto Himself. Is that true? I hope it is. It's tough. But in Philippians 4:13, one of my favorite verses, it says this, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. This is how we connect to that awesome power of God, through Christ, who strengthens us. Join us all for prayer. Spread the word that we're going to do this. Pray for your family, the family of God. Let's pray together. Father, draw us together as your children. Strengthen us as your people. Focus us that we may see and do those things that you call us to. You've commissioned us. You've sent us out with our marching orders. Now help us to do those things we ought to do. We can't do it by ourselves. So fill us with your Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen.